Seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. All right, then look at Psalm chapter number 100, Malachi chapter number 4, then Mark chapter number 10. All right, let's all stand, shall we, for the reading of God's word. The Bible says, for the Lord is good.
Everybody stand.
His mercy is everlasting, and
everybody looking, first of all, look at Malachi chapter number 4.
And look at verse number.
Well, let's start at verse number four, please.
Verse number four, chapter four, the book of Malachi.
The Bible endureth.
The Bible says, "Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant."
The Bible says,
"Which I commanded unto him in Horeb, for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments available."
Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet
before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord.
God's promise.
He shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children.
Father, thank you now for our time.
The heart of the children to their fathers.
Lord,
lest I come and smite the earth, but I pray that you
curse. Understand.
Now turn over to Mark chapter number 10.
If we don't believe that this is the word of God, we've got
and look at verse number 13.
Look at it as our authority.
Mark 10, verse 13.
We've got to know that there's a word.
And they brought young children to him that he should touch them.
And his disciples rebuked those that brought them.
But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased.
What to do in our
said life, unto Lord, them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not.
Lord, I pray that you'd
for
help us
such is the kingdom
the
of God.
Been doing.
Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child,
to the
he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. In Psalm chapter number 12, verse number 6, the Bible says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth.
Okay, never mind. I'll use Emily. If Emily
thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Just once
I believe that God has a word somewhere, God's own words, and
Father, we thank you now for today.
His words forever.
I pray that you bless us.
As Lord, we love
the world is in existence.
Lord, the Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words,
perhaps it's even
abideth forever.
But you,
so God has chosen to preserve his word somewhere. Now we've got a problem. Give me this red one here.
And all the world knew that you loved him. And today,
I'll get to this in just a little bit.
America,
but we've got a problem because in our country, we have right now, over 100 different versions, so-called versions of the Bible. And somebody will say, well, that just doesn't make sense.
Lord,
you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the devil is the author of confusion. God is not the author of confusion. The devil is. And so people are confused today about God's word. They don't know which is God's word. Is this book that I have right up here called the King James Bible? And I say that respectfully. I don't say it the King James Version. If it's the version that leads precedence to people think, well, that's just a version of the Bible. Where is the Bible?
This is the King James Bible.
It used to be called that, and people have gotten away with that because of all the versions and subversions and perversions of the Word of God. If there is the Word of God, you've got all these other different versions, which one's right? Which one do we look at? By the way, they're all different. Do you know right now we have Bibles? I just saw it the other day. There's a Bible coming out, or has come out. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it. But a Bible coming out for the gays.
The children. That's a
now, can you believe that? I just don't understand our mentality. Or
Jesus loved.
Well, let's get the Word of God. Love the gay version. Well, isn't that just
like
wonderful?
That song?
Well, if you're going to have the gay version, you're going to have to take out a lot of what in here, so the gays don't get upset.
Yellow, black, and
because
white,
a lot of this book right here will go right
sight.
Cut to right yes, to the Jesus heart and the matter concerning the gays.
Friday,
the Bible says that lifestyle is an abomination, and that's what it says. I would be interested to see what the gay version of the Bible would say about that. But that's what the Bible says. So we've got all these different versions, and people say, well, why make a big deal about this? You remember in the garden, the devil came and he said, yea, hath God said. And the devil's always been attacking this book right here. Yea, hath God said. If he can get us to believe, did God really say that? How many times have you heard people say, well, that's what you think the Bible says? Or, you know, that's your interpretation of the Bible. Do we really know that that's what it says? I've looked at these people and people have told me flat out, well, I mean, it was going people gospel, and they said, but it's open to interpretation. Did you know this book right here, the King James Bible, is on a
They
took all the versions, and they found out that the King James Bible is on a fifth grade level. Every other version is a higher level than that. This is the easiest book to understand on the market. Did you know something else about the King James Bible? Did you know that the King James Bible does not have a copyright? If you look at all the other Bibles, they have a copyright. The reason they have a copyright is they're trying to make...
He fit the part. I mean, he was on the phone. I don't know how he could ever hear what was going on with the music
and
going on like that.
But he was on the phone or anything like that. I believe that this is God's word. There's got to be God's word somewhere because God has said he'd preserve his word. But then somebody says, well, we don't have the originals. You know what? Nobody has the originals.
Don't you wish you just had a switch?
There are no originals.
And I said, you know,
God has said he will preserve his word. Now, man's not going to preserve the word, but God can. We just put God somewhere down here. God can preserve his word if he chooses, and he has chosen to do so. But it was written by man.
Blankety blank, 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 blankety blank, blank, blank.
Did you know that God has chosen to use man as in his word?
I said, look who's talking here. And he started going back and back.
Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means God chose men, not ordinary men, but holy men, set apart men, that he gave the pastor the job of penning the words and being a secretary for him, putting down in the holy word of God his words. I believe every jot and tittle that Jesus said in here is the word of God. Now somebody said, in your Bible, you might have italicized words. Anybody read their Bible and see italicized words? In fact, I think in our reading, they just saw one.
Oh, Reverend, I'm a staunch Catholic. Oh, I could tell. I'm a staunch Catholic. Like he said, in fact, the last time I went to church, he said, my son, he pointed over, there was a son, he's probably about 25 years old. Last time I went to church, he had his first communion, he said.
Verse 5.
Of course, okay, that's a long time ago.
Okay, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. Is that word endureth italicized in your Bible? It is in my Bible. Now, anytime you see an italicized word, that means it was not in the original language. What happens is when they changed over into the Hebrew and the Greek, some of the language is so different from the English language, they had to add words. Well, here's what's interesting. Somebody says, but here's what's interesting. When you look at the New Testament and you see that Jesus quoted some of the Old Testament scripture, did you know that many of the verses he quotes, he uses words in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, that are italicized. They're not italicized in the New Testament, and he quotes them. Isn't that interesting? I believe every single word in this book is the word of God, every single one. And so we've got to understand that. Now look, you have got to come to a conclusion in your mind that you have the very word of God for your life. If you don't get that part down, you're going to have a troubling Christian life because you will not know that this is the word of God. You can't say, well, yeah, that part was written by man. No, every part from Genesis 1 all the way to the end of Revelation 22, I believe is the word of God. The question is, what do you believe? You've got to believe something. Do you believe you have in your hands the preserved word of God?
On Friday, and
when I was given the gospel, somebody told me the gospel. I had no problem listening and hearing what somebody told me.
And then you got to go back and just hold on.
Because I knew this was God's word.
We were going to go
I knew that this was the authority for my life. Okay, we're going to get started here. And I'm looking around and I'm going to go in front of this and I'm going to try to stay out of your way. But we're going to get started. I want you to realize something. That if there's a preserved person, there's over 100 different translations of the version. That means if there's only one word of God, that means there are a lot of perversions. versions of the Word of God. Amen.
Opened up, started.
There has to be.
I can go through the plan.
If the King James Bible is in the Word of God, then it's got to be some
sins. We deserve to die and go to hell.
All right.
About this time, two young people across the street.
Let me show you what I mean. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter number 23.
And cars are going by like this, you know, and we're right out in the
Some verses,
side of the street.
Started,
two people come out, and these two young people.
I'm not going to go too deep tonight.
Did you notice wrong? They didn't open up the mailbox.
I could. They
just came to the mailbox.
Jeremiah chapter number 23.
Like
look at verse number. Some sound here. They come to the mailbox here, and they come there, and then they turn around, and they're looking at me. Of course, Ron's looking at me. He
verse
can't see, but they're looking
there?
At me. Amen.
And of course, they just
thus shall disrupted me and distracted me. But I'm thinking to myself as I'm talking to this teenager, I think some mom probably was wondering what was going on out there. And she sent every kid, not one, two, to find out what was going on with two men talking to this 14-year-old
God of the Lord of hosts.
Oh, yeah.
We can play our music and let it just go crazy. And we're not ashamed of that. But boy, we take out this book, this right here, and we're up a Bible,
I'm going to show you.
Everybody gets concerned. There's something wrong.
I don't want to offend anybody,
but I'm going to have to.
And that young boy is
ready for
that.
And he's on the
wicked.
He's on the right of heaven.
Now,
praise
turn
God.
Over to Revelation.
But anyway, the point is, what I'm talking about is a 15-year-old boy.
Revelation chapter number
22.
Now, that should be pretty easy.
Jesus loves.
Revelation chapter number 22. And this isn't going to be your typical Father's Day sermon. But dads, I want you to know something.
And
some of you,
your
kids are grown, 18. They're gone. There's nothing you can do. But some of you have
the end of the Bible.
They're 3 years old, four,
and
five,
it says,
six, seven.
For I testify unto every man
eight,
that heareth the words
in that
of
area.
The prophecy of this book.
Dads,
if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away
we've
from the words
this
of the
idea
book
now
of this
word
prophecy,
dad,
God shall take away his part out
look,
of the book of life
your kids
and out of the holy city. And from the things which are written,
nothing
in this
nothing.
Book. Now those are strong words.
Can
strong words about messing with God's
place.
Word. And if God has given us the rebuke
the
and given us the challenge and given us clear message about
hands.
Messing with his words, that means
the Jews
probably
very
highly
somebody
that is going to do what he says.
The Bible says that Rachel
and their
and her sister
there are all kinds of subversions or perversions in the Word of
the
God.
The Jews love
now,
children.
I want, basically, I want to just
I love
teach you tonight and
kids.
Educate you
I
on how we have all these different versions, because many of you don't know. I'm
Isn't
sure some of you do. But many of you don't know. How did we get the King James Bible?
Jesus
how did we get these other
the
versions? Which one's right? So I'm going to try to help you here. Now, basically, the Word of God, of course, in 100 A.D., the Bible, the New Testament, was finished. John, on the Isle of Patmos, finished the book of Revelation. And so by that time, 100 A.D., all the New Testament books were finished. There began to be some different places upon the planet where the Word of God was coming from. One of them was, and they're just going to follow me, one of them was Antioch, that was in Syria. Another one was Alexandria. Alexandria was in Egypt. Let me see
Jesus.
If I can show you here.
And he's in the region of Judea.
Antioch,
beyond Jordan,
Alexandria.
He is speaking about
okay.
marriage.
What happened to the Bible after 100 AD?
And
you see over there in the northern
their children
there
Jesus.
Is
by
Antioch,
way, I think it's a
Syria.
Thing.
Antioch was 300 miles north of Jerusalem. That was the first gospel church. Missionary move.
I wish I could
remember the Bible. The Bible
heart,
says in the book of Acts
heart.
That the Christians were first called Christians where? In Antioch. So you had over there the Antioch, and they collected the Holy Scriptures and made copies of them. But there happened to be a southern stream where God's preserved word was so-called preserved word, they thought, and that was over in Alexandria, Egypt. Now remember, Egypt represents what?
You've got to take the
always
you've got to lead
all the Bible. Always represent the Lord.
I said this all.
So you have in the northern part, you have Antioch,
my
and they collected the scriptures,
church,
made copies of them,
they
soon it became a single Bible, much like we have here.
I don't remember
in the southern portion, you have Alexandria. And while all this was going on, Wednesday night, Sunday night, things that were going on. Sunday's good, but Sunday night's great too, amen?
And great to lead your family there.
It's not going to hurt you.
From Lucy, we say, people used to communicate all over the Roman Empire.
It was the language of philosophy.
But I think
basically every person who thought he was smart would read the Greek Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, Stoicism, or Epicureanism.
But,
these philosophers all wanted to be scholars.
Somebody said, "Let's just keep going to church one time a week. That's all I need."
You're right. They all collected over not Antioch, but into Alexandria, Egypt. Now, before we go any further, I want you to see something. That maybe you're not aware of. So we get an understanding. Turn over to Acts chapter number 18. Acts chapter number 18.
Because our heart is attuned to that show. And if our heart would get attuned to God, we'd have no problem on coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Sunday night.
Remember,
Sunday
Alexandria was a Greek city.
It was known for its philosophy.
So here are the parents bringing the children
they all
to Jesus
there.
Can you imagine how the Savior must have just enjoyed their presence?
It's a very
if we know anything about Jesus, we know that he loved children. Now,
look at verse
Bible, but here happens to be one of
the
children.
Come on,
it does mention in the Book of Psalms, and it says that some of the land
will get
Ham, Shem, and Japheth were three sons that descended from Noah, and you remember one of them God cursed.
I like this.
Remember who that was? Are you with me? Are you paying attention? I hope you are. I studied
the young child that was on the airplane.
I hope you're listening.
Three
basic places in Scripture.
And
look at Acts chapter number 18 and look verse number.
Dad didn't really do anything to tell him anything.
This young boy, he was looking up and he started pushing all the buttons.
You know,
and the air comes and the
buttons,
and he was pushing the buttons on the side, and then he reached over there, person next down and pushed on the buttons, and boy, he was just going.
And he's in bad health,
and he wasn't really saying,
"Don't do that, son."
He was just going crazy.
This man, get out of the seat.
He started going down the aisle,
and
the stewardess,
of course, they were
serving the drinks and the coffee to the customers.
For one time,
he finally got out of the seat, and he was like, lickety split down the aisle, ran into that stewardess. That stewardess stumbled over like this. Coffee went everywhere.
He was real fervent. He was real mighty in the Scriptures, wasn't he?
He knew only the baptism of John.
Right.
Where was he?
That
now,
word.
Follow me. Where was he from?
Jesus.
Alexandria. He wasn't over in Antioch, where the first believers began to assemble the Bible. He was out of Alexandria.
He's not in the kind of house,
but he only knew the baptism of John.
Now,
he got that extreme, I understand, but sometimes little children, like Emily, now Emily, how old are you?
6.
Nine. And he began to
smile.
Actually, probably not that degree.
And when she is 4 or 5,
she'll get on everybody's nerves.
But sometimes children do get the best of
them. Unto him the way of God.
Here they come. Imagine.
How?
Here's Jesus with his disciples.
He had just been able to bring the children.
Now he's cut off during the days that
they would bring the children.
What a way out.
Remember the
Pharisees.
He had caught
the
scriptures.
He didn't have a way out.
No matter what he ought to have.
And so they had to take him, and
in essence, we had to go
after he was referring to children because he was from
an infant
stage,
or he was only developed
out of Alexandria, or
he was not from
spiritually.
In other words, they were probably 3, 4, 2, 5 years old,
and they would come, and Jesus would bless them.
Much like we do a dedication for children, if you will.
And so he was putting his hands on them, and they were.
This just shows us a little bit
about Alexandria in the Bible.
Now,
okay, now, something about Antioch,
you should know. Socrates said,
turn over to Genesis chapter number 9.
He said, fellow citizens, why do ye turn and scrape every stone to gather wealth?
Let me just show you something.
And take so little care of your children, to whom one day you must relinquish it all.
Wow.
Look at verse number 26.
Many years ago, they were doing the same thing that you can be seen, found doing in the year 2007 by even Christians. where we do all we can to provide for our children, nothing wrong with that. We want to put food on. We want to give them a good home and put some clothes on their body. We want to do that.
Now remember,
but you know what? All that we do in providing for children is all going to be gone.
Alexandria
but
comes from Ham.
Spiritually for your child,
Antioch,
that's going to continue from generation to generation.
Look at verse number. 26.
You see, one day this will be the Lord God of Shem.
As sweet as she is,
Canaan
she's going to
be
his
servant.
God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem,
and she's going to convey shall be his servant.
All right, what we need to know about Antioch is Antioch is a descendant from Shem. Shem was blessed. Ham was cursed. Ham was a descendant, and they settled in Alexandria. Shem descended in the
north. So her parents brought the children to Jesus.
So God said, I'll bless you of Shem's descendant. I'll curse you of Ham's descendant. We got one word, which is perverted, coming out of Alexandria. We got the wonderful word of God.
Right here needs
the pureness of word of God, and that she needs this preacher.
All right, let's go on here.
This
which is important.
These Alexandria,
if you keep the church out of her life, you
they
keep
all this Alexandria.
And Jesus is out of her heart, then she will have no direction in her life. And kids are starving and looking and desiring to have somebody lead. They just have somebody in some direction to go. They're out the wilderness and they don't know where they're going.
Argue amongst one another because remember they were philosophers.
The church,
they were not well-known spiritual giants at all. They were philosophers, people like Plato and Socrates and so forth. And as scholars, you can imagine
in the church
when they got the word of the pure word of God from up north,
in the church more likely to be saved.
Looked at it and said, "Well, this
became the church."
They committed workers
in the allegory.
In the church,
they're more likely to
the one that will share the gospel.
As a Bible believer, we believe
so here this child
of the
is being brought to Jesus, and Jesus is blessing this child.
Believe in the allegorical. In other words,
they saw something they didn't agree with. They made it to look, or they fashioned the word of God. They changed it. They subtracted from it to agree with how they believe.
America, that we
and buddy, you start messing with the word of God, you're going to have problems.
God in our school.
And all this started way back when,
many
years ago,
and as a result, we've got two camps.
We've got the camp
where they were first
happened to
the America,
the other camp in Alexandria.
The game
was on the teacher's
desk, and we stood, and we prayed, and we gave
Alexandrians the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
What's happened to that America?
Why isn't that America the one that's taking
God's blessings?
Subtract and just omit certain verses.
I'm going to be starting
to agree on everything.
In fact,
we already did like this for years.
The main source of the false Bible,
as we know it today, was a particular
because I don't think some of us understand what's unfolding.
Now that's an important lies.
Because that means
origin.
I tell you what,
Jesus is coming soon.
Some of us don't even know it,
but he's coming soon.
I think he's just at the door.
I think he's right here.
He's just looking.
He didn't have much on the
clothes.
They just
one piece of clothing.
He studied all
of his life.
Studied.
Take us up to the
borders of
the floor.
This man was consumed.
That's why writings,
and he wrote over 600 different books.
The name Origin.
That's important.
Now something you have to understand about
Origin.
Let me explain.
Faith Baptist Church. Listen very carefully.
Remember, he came
out of Alexandria there.
That bus minister,
here's the things that he taught.
He taught,
you don't find many bus ministers
in England.
You go down south in other states, you'll see where I was in Tennessee, there was a church down the road that had 15 bus routes
in the beginning.
All over
God.
There was another church in the middle of the city,
and they had another 15 routes.
So there were 30 buses
canvassing
the city in which we lived, in the outer cities, picking up boys and girls, bringing them to church.
Then we tried to start a bus ministry.
We had a bus.
And then they
get mad at
us for
asking us to stay away from our children, and they're fighting over the children.
What's in God?
We'd fight over children in New England.
Number three,
he believed
it was a necessity
because we're in a tough area.
Four,
and
my child's okay,
and my child's okay.
They don't even go to church.
They think nothing about it.
It's hard to get a child on the bus here.
Parents don't want us.
They don't trust the Baptists.
Baptized and Origen
trustworthy
was the originator.
You weren't supposed to laugh then, but I think, you know what?
Here's the child.
He was even one that instituted
on
babies being baptized.
Looking at her dad.
we knocked on some kids' doors.
We don't do that in the
Bible. Oh, about a year and a half ago. Because we've got our word
not from Alexandria.
We knocked on some kids' doors and their dad said,
Antioch,
sure, yeah, you can come to church. We started with two kids.
Here's somebody
pretty soon
else.
We got somebody else.
He believed that the
kids.
Damned and the demons would eventually
brought,
and then brought
and finally
we tried to get
to Emily to come
after we they
end up not
she wouldn't come
and finally
punished.
We had another
words,
we had something
was not
Hannah said
Emily's coming to church
burning hell.
Oh God, we'll
one
pick
day,
her up
and she started coming
of,
and her brother Evan came
they would be
now her dad's coming so they all come to church and we had seven on the bus. It's a hard area. Remember, you're looking at a guy used to have
this man
famous for producing
on a
Greek text of the Bible called the Alexandrian text,
and it's caught,
probably in the 1670
range. Alexander.
I mean, kids are everywhere.
Origin.
And we have gotten away from the
gospel ministry.
God's preserved.
I called the church about 2 years ago.
And over
the church,
they asked me to do something, and I started talking to him.
Phil,
interpreting the Bible called the
Alexandrian.
Oh, not so good.
So
the main point of his exegesis was that God didn't really mean what he said.
And
again, we are believing a literal interpretation. And what God says he means, and that's why we're called Bible believers in that context. Origen was not a Bible believer. He didn't believe in the Old Testament miracles. He didn't believe many of Jesus' words or stories. He didn't believe the Holy Spirit was eternal. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ is Almighty God. So there were a lot of things that he did not believe that the Scriptures teach. And he was a master at playing both sides.
All right, let's go on.
Because this young lady right here has a soul. And he made up a strange Greek Bible.
And remember,
he pasted together his own Greek Old Testament, mixed with some old folk tales called the Apocrypha. Anybody ever hear of the Apocrypha?
Children's hearts.
All right. Did you know that the Apocrypha used to be in the King James Bible?
We don't care about
used to be in the middle, but it was never held as the Word of God. It was used for historical accuracy and stories and so forth, but never as the Word of God. Now, the Catholic Church to this day believes that the Apocrypha is the Word of God.
I just filled up the gas.
I'm going to show you. I'm going to read you some of what the Apocrypha says, and you'll be amazed at what it says and why people believe what they believe.
3 weeks.
To dress up his Bible, he inserted New Testament verses and into Old Testament passages.
That's just gas.
It had to look like the apostles and Jesus quoted his Old Testament. That made his book look ancient.
It gave it
$2,000. But he added other books too. Satan used the unbelieving origin to make the first counterfeit Bible, adding and removing.
I don't know anything about
he won.
I don't know.
Remember Revelation chapter 22. God says a great curse will be upon that person that says or adds or subtracts from the Word of God.
Well,
you have the first one right there in order.
More of your friends.
That's where all these different, all the other versions of the Bible
all
started out of allegory.
Wait a minute,
and
the church is
in the Bible
ministry,
including so we can get money. We don't pay. Up the kids so they can put a lot of money in the offering plate.
Want
it cost us to pick them up.
Well,
pick them up because Jesus loved the little children and we don't get them.
Very well.
Jehovah's Witness
was an easier way to learn than Hebrew.
They'll get
then we come to the middle of the ancient
by their church.
You see all the cars.
Of that.
If the Georgian
gave the world his Bible,
they are doing what God is doing,
and there's
the
modified Old
Testament.
God added the folk tales called the Apocrypha.
You know what?
Was the perverted New Testament, and he came up with the origins, Alexandria Bible.
Had
now that's important, because you're going to come up with all these other versions coming out of Alexandria, and it's all coming out of Origins Alexandria Bible.
How many of you here?
Let me just read to you some teachings from the Apocrypha. And remember, as New Testament Bible believing Christians, the Baptists have never looked at the Apocrypha as the Word of God.
This church.
Now, this 400 years, the early Bible-believing Christians
some of you
passed over the Apocrypha, did not put it into the canon of this church because they knew. There's not a lot of reasons why. All right, here's some teachings from the Apocrypha.
Here.
The Apocrypha was considered scripture by the Catholics.
Okay, it wasn't here.
It was voted in at the Council of Trent in 1546,
and
the books were pronounced as sacred. But here's what they believe. They believe that you have to keep the Bible in perspective.
You know what?
They did not believe the Bible was the Word of God. And like a disciple hierarchy.
The parents bring their children,
a lot of people, to Jesus.
And they'll say,
and Jesus takes
a little child and he puts his hands upon him and blesses them.
It's not a
disciple. Say, wait a minute, Jesus.
Now,
I wonder why the disciple said, why is it because Jesus is maybe tired? Did they take some rest so they didn't want to bother him?
But
the devil was trying to get all kinds of reasons why that he can into our mind and heart.
Oh, you're going to lose money getting the bus.
By the way,
that's just one bus.
There's another bus over there.
The Apocrypha, which is ugly right now.
Among the
sacred hand
for the first four centuries of the real church.
Now, let me read you something.
We got to hear
second half of $300 to get lower. Listen to this verse.
Just this year,
you tell me what $100 and
here's what it says.
Oh, we had these rice that cost some money to
we're sent to Jerusalem.
A lot of money. I had to send it.
It cost me $100.
Where Paul made reconciliation
$60 to take the tax.
So now just to drive, you got to spend almost $300 to just get in there and drive the bus. Oh, it cost another $1,400 to insure that bus. And gas.
Brother Emerson, go.
How much does it cost if you die and die of your sins, you can pay and you can be escaped?
Over $100? How long does that last?
And you can buy your way out of trouble. Isn't that a wonderful
doctrine?
In other words,
that is in the
$100 a year gassing.
By the way, some of you folks
running
Catholic
church, does that sound familiar?
Well, preacher, that doesn't make sense.
You know what?
God's law sometimes doesn't make sense to the natural man, but to me it makes perfect sense. We're not in here. We're a non-profit organization. This church doesn't exist to make money. This church exists to reach souls.
Stuff delivered
right there, Emily, right there, she has a never-dying soul. And if I believe one day she'll die, she'll go to either heaven or hell.
By you accepted way, Christ as your Savior?
That is in the
Apocrypha.
Did you do that?
Lisa say is the Word of God. And buddy, that goes contrary to the teaching of this book.
A year or so.
Now remember,
did you do that
in his words? One of them's right.
No.
One of them's wrong.
Okay.
Because you won't find anywhere in the teachings of this book anything remotely.
I was going to give you $100 right after. Now it's just gone way down.
Remember Mary? How many believe Mary was a sinner?
Listen to what D.L. Moody said.
Listen to this concerning Mary. And I was a witty child and had received a good soul.
Time, I'd get tired.
Whereas I was more good.
D.L. Moody said this.
To a young
man came to him undefiled.
Wisdom 8, 19,
Mr. Moody said, 20. Wasn't that great?
That's
boy, how many conversions did you have today?
We had 2.5, Mr. Moody
who
said.
Was it? Who was I?
Oh, he said, you mean you had two adults and one child?
About Mary.
He said, no, I didn't have two adults and one child.
I had two children and one adult.
He said, no, she's not a sinner.
He said, Mr. Moody, what do you mean you had two children and one adult? He said, I got two children. They can give their whole life to Jesus.
Mary's
this adult, he only has 1/2 of his life left.
He doesn't need a Savior.
This young lady here, 9 years old, she's got a whole life to spend for the Lord.
She says, oh, my Savior.
Did you know that 85% of all people that trust Christ do so before the age of 25?
But she,
if you get to 25, your chances of accepting Christ and accepting what this book says become
very, very
she needed Jesus as her Savior, just like you and I do.
That's from the Apocrypha.
And
that's where we get that
stung his
right
door.
There. Gene doesn't mind.
Origen lived an unusual life.
At 18, he was made head teacher of the school of Alexandria.
You know what he
taught
is in
from
this 204
to 230 when he was kicked out. He moved to Caesarea and was caught in the Decian persecution of 250 and torture.
You can't get
after
adults.
He was released in 254 A.D., he finally died of his wounds. For a century, he was much too heretical to be counted as church.
They used to line up the kids.
But times.
Kids would come down. They come from junior church.
Nowadays, Origen is treated like a saint. His writings are honored.
They'd line up
not only
by kids that accepted Christ.
By Protestants as
they'd line up in front of the church. Boy, we'd have probably 10 or so kids
after his death, his counterfeit Bible was copied by other scholars.
One day, one boy.
In the 300s, they were asked to make 50 Bibles. The scholars of Alexandria wrote these three Bible perversions, and these three are what you need to remember. Sinaiticus, Vaticanus, Alexandrianus. All those came from the writings of Origen, and all of those now filtered into many Bible translations or versions aside from the Word of God. Now remember, this book right here, the King James Bible, did not come out of Alexandria. It came from where?
People were like,
came from Antioch.
Thank God he had
none of it came out of Alexandria. They had the pure Word of God and sent it down to Alexandria, and the scholars and the philosophers, such as they were, they began to change it and change much of it and add unto it. And so
I wish I could have my children. My wife does, she does,
I have it written down over here.
She's scrapbook, and she'll come to me, and I'll be sitting there.
In the Sinaiticus, there are over 36,000
big scrapbooking books on my lap.
Look at this!
And let me get my glasses, because I'm 50, you know. And so I get my glasses, and I start looking.
And now we have two streams.
Back memories.
We have the Northern Stream. We have the Southern Stream. The Northern Stream came from Antioch, which is the preserved in Antioch of Syria. The Southern Stream down in Egypt, Alexandria. Remember, the Bible typifies the world in Egypt. The Southern Stream was God's words that were perverted.
This girl right here.
Out of this, after his death,
who
we got three different versions, so forth. The Sinaiticus and the Vaticanus are two of them.
Start when they're young.
Now, you have to understand, in 1880, two men by the name of Westcott and Hort. Anybody hear those men? All right, some of you have done your study. And Westcott and Hort were men that were very nice in their beliefs.
No, you can't.
They didn't believe a lot.
You see, Jesus said, he's blessing the child.
Decided,
putting his hand on the, and the child, and the lines begin. The lines real long. The line stretches out beyond those boys. And the disciples, no, you can't.
The line gets shorter.
The line gets shorter. And Jesus repeats
them. Jesus said, suffer those men.
Suffer not a little children.
One of them came out of the kingdom of God, he said. Came out of his library. The other came at Mount Sinai. They found it in a waste basket in the mid, I believe, 1800s. And they took these, and these two men in 1881, by the name of Westcott and Hort, they began to get their own Greek Bible and formed it. And from that basis, we have all the other versions of the Bible. We have the NIV, you can begin saying it, the Gay Bible, so forth. Most of the versions of the Bible that are, in fact, all of them that are corrupt, are taken by Westcott and Hort that got a hold of these corrupt manuscripts that originated with Mr. Origen there. Now, all right, I'm going to turn this off because we don't need this anymore. And Brother Rick, if you can get the lights that way, it'll give me a little bit more room.
What makes you feel bad?
I can see what I'm doing here.
You have any idea what they said?
Now, I want you to get your Bible out.
Fifth grade.
10, 11.
And I want you to look at 11. Something I'm going to show you.
What makes
I'm
going to
show
bad?
You. Are you ready for this?
Of the top.
I'm going to show you how to memorize your Bible, 17 verses in less than 10 minutes.
Let's talk that would be one, Ron.
I'm going to show you. How many love the? You'd like to learn the Bible 70 verses, if you could, in 10 minutes or less. All right, I'm going to show you how you can do that. All right, so you have to follow me here, and hopefully I don't trip over. I wish I had more room. I did not envision what was going to go on here. Let me see if I can get this.
Number two.
Listen to these last two.
These are the top answers.
Number two. What makes you feel bad?
Now, let me say this as I'm disconnecting this.
Really?
The most popular version, aside from the King James Bible, is the NIV, the New International Version. Most churches, in fact, most churches in our area, if you go into their church, they will preach out of the NIV. We don't preach out of the NIV because the NIV comes straight from Westcott and Hort, which comes from Origen,
fifth
which
grader
comes from correct, corrupted text, perverted text. We don't go along that line.
Number one,
we go along the
what
line that has
bad?
Been preserved, which is out of Antioch. All right, I think I could turn this off without killing myself.
I don't spend enough time with my parents.
Now, let me say something about the New International Version and why we don't use it. Number one, there are one-third less verses in the New International Version than there are in the King James Bible. Sometimes somebody say, why do you Baptists, why do you make such a fuss over the Bible? Because remember, there can only be one Bible. Does that make sense?
My wife and I.
Do you understand that? There can only, how can we have a Bible here, so-called Bible,
we went into this building
and a so-called Bible, and a so-called
Bible, and a so-called Bible,
and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible,
and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible,
and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a so-called Bible, and a
I tell they people, I witnessed somebody one time, they said, split.
Talking about, oh, you guys, you just mess, you don't, you.
Oh, yes, the Amish believe that if you give electricity, it will divide the family.
And he's right, we don't.
She said, you know what we do nowadays? We got electricity, so what do we got? We got television every single room. Mom goes to that room to watch her show. Dad goes over there to watch the ball game. Little Junior goes over there to watch the children's program. Over here, you've got the video game. So little Junior's over here, the video games, and what used to be the family in the living room talking about things, now you got the family divided all over the home because the family is apart.
She writes every word that I say.
And what a child wants, a child craves that family.
You sign this, and I sign this, and by means I say one time, I wrote it. Now, when she says it's my family time, is it her word or my word? Are you ready?
It's my word,
but who wrote it?
She wrote it.
Sunday night's time.
She took what I gave her, wrote it on the paper, and sent it out. Now, what God's done is pretty much the same thing. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Men wrote this book. I'm not going to deny that. Men wrote this book.
Before I do.
But God told the men what to write. It then becomes God's word, not man's word.
I'd finish up doing some studying.
Okay, are you ready?
Ready
to learn?
Fiddle around with this computer for tonight.
How many are ready?
There's about.
Are you ready to learn it?
All right.
My wife and I have been
taking your Bibles. We're going to go quickly here. Turn over to Matthew chapter number 17.
For Father's Day last night, we went to a restaurant. Oh, it was good. But I paid for it.
You got
to.
And we might want to eat right.
We came back at 7:30 at night.
We're done here.
I just
not going to be much longer.
I have more time,
and I apologize for time going quicker. In fact, I've got so much stuff down here I haven't even crossed. But because of time, I can't do that. All right, Matthew chapter number 17, look at verse number 21.
One of the fears of coming here was that people would bug us all the time because we were right.
Notice what it says.
By the way,
howbeit this kind goeth not out by me or prayer and fasting.
It's okay.
Anytime you want to bug me, just bug me.
All right.
Now,
I had the New International Version.
I go to the
By
door.
The way, there may be somebody Man, here that has that. If you have that,
how you doing? He said, I'm sorry. He said, can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. What is it?
Wonder got outside. The devil doesn't what is want it? Us to pray and fast.
He started telling me a story.
If it's that important and the devil has taken it out,
many of the versions,
I'd say it's pretty important
driver.
For the Christian's life.
They're in the hospital and they're having surgery right now. Can you?
And I wonder how many of us pray and
fast over things.
Seen something that he probably seen.
I'll be honest, I don't
have any money, do you?
I opened up the door.
The New International Version.
You won't find it.
So hey,
and I might.
You want to memorize Matthew 17:21. Get yourself a New International Version. Open it up to Matthew 17:21.
You'll memorize it.
I said, sir, I don't have any money.
By the way, we've had multiple numbers
of people
come to that door and ask.
Turn over to Matthew chapter number 18.
My wife's to the point. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Oh, this is a good one.
Look at verse number 11.
That story.
And his shoulders just went.
For the Son of Man.
He said, I've been to four churches
that which was
trying to get some money.
Well, I got
to
get back to Springfield.
You say?
I don't have any money on me. I've got to get back to Springfield.
Sir,
so you don't understand. I'm not lying. I promise you, I'm not lying, he said.
My
little boy, he's 2 weeks old. And they told me he was paralyzed. Now they said he's paralyzed from the waist down instead of the shoulders down. He's in surgery right now. And I've got to get home. I don't have any gas money.
IV you're looking at right now.
You're looking at right
now. What would you
do? Anybody have it? Okay. Well, in the NIV, it's gone. Okay?
So just gone.
Hey, that tells why Walked Jesus came.
I said, what are you going to do?
To save that, would you have it, Jurgen? Parallel.
She gave
all
me
right.
Every reason why I shouldn't. And it's not on there. All right.
I said,
it's not on there.
I'm taking the phone.
Okay. But in the NIV, it's not there.
I'm going to go down to the
Just for kicks, is it in?
I'm going to
get okay, just for took up an just for kicks, is it in the Living Bible?
Get them some gas money and get them home. I don't know if he's telling the truth or not, but you know what? I can't go away from this guy if he's telling the truth. And if he's not,
okay,
so be it.
Okay, it's a little
different. Out of the door.
Yeah. So in the NIV, it's gone.
Said, follow me.
It's going down to the gas station.
Went down to the gas station.
And that, two men, probably in their 20s, middle 20s, two men.
In the garbage.
That one guy, I said, I'm going to, how far is the Springfield? He said, oh, about 200. And the other guy,
so far, about 160.
I said, I'm going to give you $25, $25.
Turn over to Matthew chapter 23.
And go back and get on your way. You're going to, I'm going to use you.
Did you know?
If you don't mind. Okay, Matthew chapter 23.
Oh, look at verse number 14. Thank you. God bless you, sir.
If he's acting,
notice what it says.
Pretty good act.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, for a pretense make long prayer.
Put it in.
Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation.
Thank you.
I said,
is it in the NIV there?
Had some tracks in there.
Gave him.
Here, I want you to take this.
Wait,
this will tell you how to go to heaven. The guy that was driving, which is his brother TJ, he said, can I have one? Oh, sure, you can have one. I got another one. Here's yours. Both had them. He said, this does what? It tells you how to go to heaven. I said, do you both know you for sure you're going to heaven? No. You mean you do?
Yes, I do. I said, let me show you, okay?
Okay.
Guy was in the car on the driver's side. The other guy was right on the car. I got down on my knees.
And
you don't know how much that hurts. I got down on my knees, took out my New Testament, swung it through the passenger side window, okay. And began to show him the four things he needed to go to heaven.
After I'm all done, I said, would you guys like to
Mark
go to
chapter number 7?
Oh, sure.
They bowed their head and received Jesus Christ as our Savior.
Amen.
That
look
guy's
at verse
going
16.
Back, and that uncle's going back to perhaps a 2-week-old.
If any man have ears, paralyzed
for the rest
let
of his
him
life.
Hear.
But praise God, that little right boy then, has a Christian daddy. He said, Pastor. He said, How can I live this every day? I said, find yourself a church. I want you to send me a letter. I want you to tell me thank you on that. I want you to send me a letter. Okay. I will find you a church. But you send me. You take the make the first move,
man,
and I will follow up and find you. He said, if we're in this area, can we come to your church? I said,
absolutely.
In Mark chapter number 9.
You know why?
I'll skip around here for time
because there needs to be a day when the dad's hearts are in tune with the children's hearts.
So then there's 24
for $25.
Talking about hell.
If I hadn't have given that man any
hell.
Money, and what happens?
Look
I
at verse 44.
To me.
Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Look at verse 46.
Men are un-
where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not
a young
quenched.
Child.
All right. Jurgen, is that there?
Drunken driver. And in the hospital, undergoing surgery, so it wouldn't be paralyzed for the rest of his life. Just a little child. You know what? She's just a little
Where's
child.
Where's 44?
I wonder how many more children could be reached if
okay,
we had
so where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched is not there.
I wonder how many more buses we
and
could ride. You know what we need?
Says the same
we need another bus so we there. Can go over to Wareham and pick up children.
You know what we need? This bus over here, we need to go to a rest home and pick up some folks that would like to come that normally can't come. Like where Miss Donna works. We need to use that bus. We need another bus so we can go into Wareham and pick up some children that need Jesus.
Believe that the fire will.
You know what that means? We need more workers.
Just
we need some people that say, I can drive a bus.
A little fire.
By the way, we'll pay for your.
My Bible says
the cost of getting the license.
It's not put out.
Look at her.
That's hell.
Isn't she sweet?
That means people that are dying right now, they're
how many more
immigrants
are scattered about this region that can
all right,
be reached.
Look at verse.
Okay,
somebody
I'm going to have to
go quick here because of time.
I'm not asking you to go to Japan
look
or China.
Chapter 11, verse 26.
I'm asking you to go right here in Plymouth County. Mark 11, verse 20.
How many more buses could we get if we had some folks that said, you know what, I'll begin tithing, I'll begin giving?
No, it's what it says.
But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, gather there.
And we see all the kids that have been reached through the bus ministry. There, Emily starts heading it up, and there's a little boy and a little girl. Boy, there's a teenager. Wouldn't it be great? Because somebody gave.
I like that song. Have you ever heard it? I'm not going to sing it very good. Thank you.
In other words, 25 and 46 are omitted. It's basically what's happening there. Lord. It's not there.
So when Jesus says, verse 25, when ye stand praying, forgive if ye had aught against any, you, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. So the devil doesn't
want us to forgive. Dear God, I pray that you bless us. Thank you for the bus ministry.
Isn't that good?
Oh, you're not going to find this.
All right, let's look at...
Most churches don't even talk about this because churches don't have a bus ministry.
More.
But Lord, I pray that you help this church.
Let's see. Oh, let's look at two more. Look over in Acts chapter number 8.
Just about every week.
Acts chapter
number
8.
On the offering. On the offering,
look at verse number 37.
Somebody's given.
Running out of time.
I don't know who it is.
Close it up here.
But it says
Acts chapter number 8. And it'll say 15, 20.
Verse number 37. Get ready for that. You're good.
Somebody has a heart.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
If you want to know how to get to heaven, it's right there, verse 37.
Lord, thank you for people that give.
He said in verse 36, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Here's the condition for baptism. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You can't get baptized till you trust Christ as your Savior, and that throws out the thing of instant baptism.
It reaches so many boys and girls.
But wait a minute. What does the devil want us to know, Jurgen?
Work on the heart.
What does Acts 8:37 say in the NIV?
Amen. Our heads are bowed.
Do you have the NIV? Oh, so you're not even reading from the NIV? All right, read out of the Okay, so he's got the living. Okay. Okay, I thought you had the NIV, but even the Living Bible is wrong. With the NIV, it's missing. It's not there. So in other words, the devil doesn't want us to know how to be saved. And if anything, verse 37 tells it, verse 37 tells how to be saved. If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. That means pertaining to baptism. In other words, you first have to believe, then you get baptized. One more. Turn over to 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7. This is a good one. By the way, this is not even in the New World Translation. The New World Translation is what the Jehovah's Witnesses use. And that's why they don't believe in the Trinity. Look at verse number 7 there. 1 John chapter number 5. Look at verse number 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? One. There's the Trinity right there. Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The NIV does not have that verse at all. Now, does your Living Translation, does it have it in there?
6, 7, 8 combined.
Okay, you don't have to read that. All right. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that many of these versions subtract. You can see he's got the Living Bible translation. And does it have that? Well, 6, 7, and 8 is combined. They've got to combine all those verses to get one verse. So what's happened is you got a lot of these versions, and they've taken out and they removed the Bible, and the devil is good. Remember back in the garden, said to Adam and Eve, especially Eve, yea, hath God said? Is that what really God said? And boy, all over America and over this world, we're coming into conflict. Did God really say that? Is that what he really meant? Because we don't have the preserved Word of God. Most people don't. But, buddy, here it is right here.
The King James Bible is the preserved word of God. That's all I ever look at. All I ever look at. This book right here. I don't look at the other versions. I don't study from the other versions. I'll get out a Greek dictionary or a Hebrew dictionary. I'll look at words and find out their meaning. This is the book I use in faith and practice and study. This is it right now. I don't go to any other version because they all have a line up to Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort were basically, they didn't want to believe in what the Bible says. Did you know the whole Jehovah Witness thing? It started because its founder, its leader, did not want to believe in a literal hell. And do you know that the Jehovah's Witnesses, to this day, you talk to them, they do not believe a person dies and goes to hell. I'm talking about a fiery hell. But if you look at that Bible teaches that hell is real and that people die and they may go to hell. And so the question is, we've got to have a preserved word somewhere. It can't be this. It can't be the Living Bible. It can't be the NIV. It can't be the New American Standard. It can't be the Gay Bible. It can't be each and every one. There's only got to be one that God's preserved, and that's it right there. I wish I had more time to prove my point. I hope I've helped you a little bit. We need to pray. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear God. Lord, you said you would preserve your word forever, for every generation. And so, dear God, if you hold to your promise, we've got to have the word of God somewhere to go to. Lord, I thank you that we have the King James Bible, the preserved word of God for the English-speaking people. Thank you for preserving it. Thank you that we have something with authority that is the authority that we can go to and we can say, this is God's word. And dear God, I pray that you'd help open up our eyes and be open, see what the devil's trying to do to the word of God. As he attacks the word of God and takes out verses and that are so necessary to the Christian faith, help open up our eyes to what the devil is doing. Please, please. Amen. Now I wonder tonight, maybe